First John.
First John 4.
First John 1.
1.
We're getting official. Official Bible lessons. It's more official if you read it out of the
book. What is his name?
There's an element, 1 John 1, 1. Paul said that he was determined to speak of nothing until it was worked out in him by Christ Jesus. That's,
is that here?
No, Paul. This is John.
Oh.
Paul said that in Romans 15.
Sorry.
But it was not, the word, the translation of the word there, determined, gives it like it was an act of his will. That's the idea. But I'm determined not to do this, right? Well, the voice in the Greek, it's like he's unable to speak of anything until it's been worked out in him by Christ. Now, what?
Well, I was just thinking about any time that you do anything other than that, it's always for all kinds of weird reasons.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Well, what, anytime that you try to, and this is what we're going to, Paul says the same thing, I mean, John says the same thing in the first verse here, but any other time what happens is that our brain and our sentence structure and our mouth tries to justify it.
Amen.
And as opposed then to sharing truth, you're trying to share that I know truth.
Amen.
And that perception is immediately seen through.
Amen. Yeah, it's weak as hell.
Except by those who are except by those whose persona would benefit from the same value system.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Well, you remember that truth never ever needs to justify itself.
Yeah.
Even by the slightest hints of language. Because if you're in him, and you know that, then you are.
I think we need to pull them apart.
You are justified. Your only justification is in the Spirit. You can never, ever once have a justification. You're manifested in the flesh, but you're justified in the Spirit only. So that but a false faith always needs continual and ongoing affirmation. And so it needs adherence, because then it needs to be given credence by the number of followers.
Yeah.
This is kind of a branch, but I think it's worth it. I was reading this really arcane book about viral...
About what?
Viral ideas and ideas in the biosphere. And they even this guy, I mean, who's not a preacher or anything, he saw immediately that for any idea to have life, it had to have two conditions. One, this is true, and the condition of this truth being true requires you to make other people believe it to be true. And I mean, it's the exact same thing.
There's no
sense. And that was the fundamental thing that had to exist for an idea to live and to carry on.
Yeah.
Any idea, not just.
No, and that's
really
the
definition for truth.
It's the definition for, well, anyway. Okay, but listen to this. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, Remember, I've told you the relationship of the senses so often. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you will do or touch or handle. I mean, it's as automatic as... So this written by John, John was a disciple, and he physically handled the word of life. I mean, he laid his head on his breast and, you know, seen him and talked to him. But it's no less true for you. You won't be able to communicate anything to anyone unless you can hear, unless you go through this process. That which you know, number one, it was from the beginning. Number two is that you have heard it. Number three is that you have seen it with your eyes and you've looked upon it. And number four is that your hands have handled the word of life. When those conditions are met, then for you, the day of the Lord has begun. You got it? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. I can equally say that without being blasphemous. I mean, I couldn't do what I do had I not heard, seen, looked upon, and handled.
Handled, I don't understand. How?
Well, handled in that it's the natural outflow. I mean, it's the doing. It's the being. It's whatever it is.
Okay. Bread and wine. It's giving people
right.
Money.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Remember, you can't have, I can't have fellowship with you as long as I am in the role of teaching you. It's impossible. God can't have fellowship with angels. God has to have fellowship. God requires it. But he longs for that relationship that I long for. Namely, that there would be one or two or 10 or 20 that had experienced the same thing I had experienced, that have seen the same thing I have seen, that have otherwise, he doesn't want little robots down here doing stuff. He wants fellowship.
That's all we have.
All right. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full or fulfilled. Now the implicit idea here is that your joy can only be fulfilled in a state of fellowship. My joy can only be fulfilled in a state of fellowship. My joy can't be fulfilled with you eating my flesh. That's not fellowship. My joy can't be fulfilled when you are afraid of me. That's not fellowship. Now, the mystery is that what that thing, that's that little minuscule thing that you see typified in me in relationship to the body on a billion times grander scale is what God is looking for. And so therefore the only way you can have fellowship with the Father is you can't even eat the Father's flesh. You have to eat the flesh of the Son. Then you have fellowship. Peace.
I'm not sure I understand that last one.
Yeah, the last one for me too.
If you're eating the flesh of God for your sustenance, then you can't ever be in a position where you and the Father are one.
Yeah, it's like what religion does with God. I mean, they bread and wine, but what they're doing is having this idea It's like eating his flesh, what he has done, who he is, instead of seeing who you are as being the same type of being as Christ. I mean,
amen.
Becoming, it's like that's why you can't fellowship with angels. They're a different kind of being.
Okay.
But you're becoming the same kind of being. It's like the same race as God.
By the way, I want you, and last night the whole message was on on the fatherhood of God and the Abba and the Daddy of God. So you and Alexis need to listen to that. All right. This then is, okay, so these things, the only reason he's writing this stuff is so that your joy may be fulfilled. This then is the message, which, but it's selfish in this weird way, in that the only way that John can have fellowship or joy is if you have fellowship. I mean, so it's like everything in the universe is, he can only have fellowship by giving all. But he can only have fellowship by giving all when you don't need it. Does that?
What?
Well, I kind of get an idea when your relationship to God is based on thank you for giving me this or that. It's because it's based on what he's done for you, and that's not fellowship.
I'm talking about my greatest joy would for me be to give you everything and you don't need anything.
Oh, that we have all things.
Right.
We own all things.
Right. So that you would need nothing that I have to give you.
Yeah.
That's my greatest joy. I mean, that sounds kind of convoluted, but that's the only reason I teach. All right, let's go on. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. None, zero, total light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
But it doesn't say do not tell the truth.
Hmm?
I don't know, I like that. If we say... You know, you could say, do not tell the truth, but it says, do not the truth.
Now, why, John said in the Gospel, in John 3:19, and he said that he was the light, and he came unto his own, and the men received him not, because they loved the darkness. Now, why in the world would you love darkness?
Bad stuff will happen to you in the light, is what you think.
Where it's unknown.
It's only one reason you love darkness, that's not it. The only reason you love darkness is because in the darkness, you can be your own light. In other words,
comparative grace.
You can have comparative anything. You can compare yourself and you can have your own rightness in the darkness. I'm not talking about you as a person in terms of your soul or your personality. I'm talking about you as the child of Satan.
Oh,
what? That's the only reason that you like darkness. Now, and it has nothing to do with how neat you are or how sincere you are or how much stuff you know about the Bible or any of those kind of things. It has to do with the nature of the beast. You love darkness. Life is made up of a series of competing stimuli. So, you love darkness, but you're kind of learning to hate it. That's what time and space are about. That's the only reason time and space exists.
That's so weird.
So you can learn to hate the darkness. But all manifestations of the darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. Now, that is the only way to walk in the light. We always try to get it by accommodating the flesh, accommodating each other, or and so then we can have the appearance of it by acting. There comes the leaven. And so the only way that you can have your desire, which is to no longer be alone, is to walk in the light. Then fellowship, love, friendship, money, anything, if you're walking in that light, you will never again seek anything from anyone. But you will, everything will be given. You will never get friends until you give friendship. You will never get money until you give money. You'll never, it's like, God, it's just a great trick. If you give them to get it, you're not going to get it. I mean, you have to give for the pure joy of giving. It's its own reward.
Yeah.
If you walk in the light as He is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. So the fruit of it is that if there is any propensity in you to be a man pleaser or a woman pleaser, that part of that will be, that's the darkness that you've been walking in. And that's what is being driven out of you. Now, you guys, for the most part, think, you know, you just sort of come here and hang around, and every once in a while it gets exciting and you do stuff. But, man, if you could see outside, if you could pull yourself out of time and see this small group of people, I mean all of us, it's the most intense activity on the face of the earth. That's why the ancients used to believe that wherever the body was the capital of the universe. Nothing else existed except to serve the purposes in the whole universe. It was the most egocentristic belief system that was possible. Wherever you are is the capital of the entire universe. It's wild. I mean, you may not understand this, but I really believe that. I mean,
that's a good thing to believe, just because it's like you begin to, you know, once you start believing that, you begin to accept that, you know, the authority and
yeah.
the stuff that God's given you.
So yeah.
You can always be,
you can never again, you understand, I mean, for some of you, this will really hit. You can never, ever, ever again be a victim. You've lost your right of victimhood.
Victimhood.
So victimhood.
I know this.
You got it? Okay. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. But if we walk, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, and the word there is a continuum. It's as we move through time, we are continually cleansed. Cleanses us from all sin. It can never, ever, ever be a position where we're not being cleansed. There's never a position where, because of that, there's never, and that's why you don't have any right to look at yourself any longer. That's why it says abandon yourself. Because you, if you knew who you were, you would never again have the need to look at yourself or to think about yourself or think about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that's like a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's something that's an incredible neat thing.
I don't like her because there are things I want to do or I see as God is getting in my way a lot. And I think, why doesn't God, you know, it's a rare occurrence. And I long for feeling like, you know, that a constant awareness that what God is doing is the right thing, is the good thing, is you know, I guess we're back to againstness, you know, that it's not.
But it's more than that. It's
in other words, that abandoning yourself
How do you abandon yourself?
Think about it real hard. Take your time.
You abandon yourself by only one way. How do you pick up your cross? How do you die to yourself?
How do you walk in the light?
How do you walk in the light as He is in the light? How do you do that? Only one way. And it's so simple, the world has lost it. The simplicity of it is, I don't exist. I am crucified with Christ. It's Christ that liveth in me. I am in the light. I am walking. I am. I can't get there. I am. That's what last night was about. Now, I may not understand it fully yet. I may be still smelling it, tasting it, handling it a little bit. What is this thing that I am? Oh my God. I'm Christ in matte form.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's not bad.
Beck! Beck! Listen to these words. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. That's in the aorist tense. It's an act completed in the past which has continual results. The Greek tense for that, it means it can never change. I am crucified with Christ. The only thing that will happen is there will be times when I don't believe I am.
Wow.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth.
That's what's going to happen.
But Christ that liveth in me. In the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Period. You can do nothing against the truth. Well, I don't believe this. I don't care. All right. But the process now we see the process. That's the eternal fact. Now look at the process. The process says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we could say we had no sin, then we would be right. We don't have the right to declare ourselves cleansed. If we say we have no sin, then we've brought our holiness into our consciousness, and we've defiled the temple by leprosy. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, this is where Rick used to bring these idiots, Rick and Doug.
Yeah, we did. The idiot bringers.
The idiot bringers. They'd bring these experts. They'd defer to experts, right? And I'd get them on this one every time.
The old First John story. We saw many a guy.
Yeah. First question, they'd come on, oh yeah, praise God, I'm born again. Hallelujah. And I say, so you're born of God, right? Amen, brother. Okay, go to 1 John 3. Go there. 1 John 3:8. Just turn your page. 1 John 3:8. You're there. Just go to the third.
He that commits sin is a bit of...
Okay. Read. No, 3:9. Read it.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. But his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God.
Okay, the guy just said he's born of God. Hallelujah. Okay.
What?
Wait a minute.
Oh, then you make him flip back over.
Then I make him flip back over.
And you get all flipped out. Flip back where?
1 John 8.
Where it says,
John 1 8.
All the damn time.
What about 8:3:8? He that committed sins of the devil.
Yeah. He that committed sins of the devil. So, the dual. See, nobody can understand it because their minds, they have to think in terms, they can't conceive of a vessel being wheat and chaff or a vessel carrying a seed. They can't conceive of them not being the subject of the sin. So this is the great, I mean, this just destroys religionists. What?
Them not being the subject of the sentence. And that's where the problem, the logical fall apart is, the assumption. It's talking about you and your dumb identity.
Yeah.
I like the way you put that.
Okay, then, do you sin, brother?
What? Yes, sometimes.
Only a little bit. Yeah. Not right now.
Okay.
Yes.
Chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Now. Oh my God. We're in big trouble.
How about the last one?
That's not in the better text. Hereby, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And again, it's exactly, you'll never understand this with a linear mind.
Because any person reading this would go, what was he on? Because it's just, unless you can, something else is working, this is just
totally horrible. The thing that's working is, it's like, we don't see it here, but even in the Arizona in the desert, but more especially in the Middle East, when water is carried, if it's carried in a container without porosity, then the water will turn bad.
Porous.
And so when the earthen vessels that carry the water, or the animal skins that carry the water, When you're in the desert, the outside of them has they're wet because of the porosity, which lets that which is within be seen on the outside. But you can't really see it by looking. I mean, if you just look at it, it looks like it's a discoloration. But if you touch it, you'll see that the outside of the vessel is wet, not from condensation in the traditional sense, but because the water has by osmosis oozed out through. So what do you say about this vessel, this earthen vessel that's containing the water? Well, if we say, you know, this is what we go through, this discussion here that John is talking about. If the vessel says it's without sin, it's a liar. Because, the idea, if the vessel says it's without, it looks like it's without holes, except in the top. If the vessel says it's without holes, it's a liar. But if the vessel confesses or opens the holes, then the truth is seen. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same thing with us. We are simply and exclusively a container. An earthen vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of the Father and not of us. It's never, ever expected. The vessel, if it ever could get it right, wouldn't reveal that thing which it contains, because it would be, and the thing which it contains would spoil. Am I communicating to you?
That's the clearest I've ever seen.
So wow.
If we don't let out what's in, then we're not in the truth, no matter what's in.
Amen.
No matter what's in there.
Right.
Then we're not in the light.
It's got to bash, you know, me especially, especially all your ideas of who Christ is, you know?
Sure.
Because if all that that's requires laying out is in, you still think, shit. Yeah. Good and evil.
Well, here's where we are. But in verse 5, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now the word perfected is the verb form of the word perfect, which is teleos, and it connotates this process of antagonism. That it is full, it's the idea of the of, I mean, again, use the same analogy with a quartz, and you know, a hunk of quartz and the gold inside. It's the same thing. That's what he's talking about, and you'll never understand it unless you see that you're only created to contain something. You know, you forget sometimes that, you know, all of you have heard, you are created in the image of God. The word image is that word selam, which means, it's the word, a glove. It's selam. If you're in the image of something, it's the same way as a glove is in the image of a hand. You were created to contain God. All right. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. Now, one of these days I'm going to go through this, all the oughts and ought not tos in the New Testament. It's an amazing word. I'm not here tonight. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. Now he's talking to Jews, and the old commandment, the Torah, which was from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is now past and the true light now shineth. Now, he just contradicted himself.
Yeah, just right there.
So I said,
I never saw that before.
What he is saying is that the old is the new. That which has been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. That which God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear him. When that finally penetrates that you cannot do anything to please or displease God, then you begin to taste the mystery. That's why it's so hidden. All right. The only test of all this is the thing I hated. I hated it. You, body. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. That's why it had to be. That's why you had to be. As I said last night, I'd have been far happier if you guys never came into my life. I mean, I had this stuff down. You know, first you came in, and then Tyra came in, and then I really got screwed up.
Yeah, you did.
God's a kidder, isn't he?
I mean, serious. I mean, it's great. This stuff, you know, I loved it when it was, okay, God, see it, God, hallelujah, praise your name, I'm going to go sit in the mountaintop.
It's like the house of cards. Okay, we've got a house of cards together now. Nobody blow.
And then you guys came around.
And just when we were getting that, we'll sit on the
mountaintop. Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, I'll get you.
Is there room up on that peak for us?
Can I bring all my shit in here?
He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. So that meant all that stuff that I thought I knew went out the window. Now everything I knew about God was in you.
Yikes. Pretty treacherous.
The totality of the revelation and all the experiences that I've ever gone through and all of the weird crap that had happened to me and all that beautiful, wonderful glory and light, all of a sudden, it didn't have a damn thing. It didn't mean anything.
Yeah, see, that's every time it comes around and I feel like running away or I think everybody's fucking shithead or stupid. It's about time I moved out. Got on my own. That's the one you're always bent over backwards with. Is it if you need... If you're not in submission and you leave of your own will, know you're a liar and you know you're fucked. Yeah. You can never go out there and fool yourself.
Yeah.
I'm setting up the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would
I know better.
I'd have sure done a lot of things different. Oh, God. All right. he that loveth his brother. And hate here doesn't mean anything like, oh, you're, you know. Hate just means to withhold.
Yeah.
See, if I'm withholding anything from you, I hate you. All right. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. In other words, all the testing has been completed. It's now perfected. The love is perfected in the brethren. Weird. I didn't do this. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes.
It's like being a vessel instead of water to carry light. And if you're, there's no hating, it's like you're full of light, so everybody can see there's no stumbling. But yeah. It's right there. You turn that off, and you're just making a closet.
You're just back. All right. Now, this is that strange set of scriptures. I wrote unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So that's the first look. Remember, we've talked about the word there is technon. It means darling infant. It means it's the child without self-awareness. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Now, that as the little child, that's all you know about. It's all you care about, really. Now, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Okay, a father, so you've gone from technon to the pater, which is one that's able to reproduce. And he's gone the whole gamut, the sweep. Because and you're a father because you've known him from the beginning. Now comes the weird stuff. All this is junk. If I'd have done this, see, I'd have done it simple. I would little child, adolescent, young man and father, and I'd have made it nice and linear.
Chart.
And a chart. I'd have made a chart.
You are here.
Okay.
Really would have appreciated it.
But he didn't write it that way. Because he goes, first the little children, then the fathers, then to young men. So what happened to adolescents? Well, we'll find out. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. Now, the word men there doesn't have a generic term. It doesn't mean young men. It means young. Because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, and there the word is not the same. It's not technon now. It's the word that means adolescence in the Greek. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. Now, by definition, you're a spiritual adolescent when you're in a state of confusion or doubt or rebellion. In that condition, automatically you're in the wilderness. I mean, that's the place of the adolescency, is in the wilderness. The only thing, and all of you have been there, when you're in that position, husbands don't help, wives don't help, boyfriends don't help, girlfriends don't help, Bible study doesn't help, reading the Bible doesn't help. Nothing helps. The only thing that's the anchor of your soul is that you've known the Father. At some point, there's been an anchor that the Father exists.
Yeah.
All right. And in verse 14, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now in the Greek, it's even stronger. It means you have been with him since the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, back again to the young men, because you, before he said, you've overcome the wicked one. Now because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you. Now in the Greek, it says the word of God abideth in you continually. In other words, there is never a time when you don't know who you are. And you've overcome the wicked one again. Well, the test of all, that is that you love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's that do to John 3:16?
More contradictions. Yeah. This thing's a wreck. Quick, hand me a new mic.
This is the word aeon. In John 3:16, it's the word cosmos. This word aeon, it means everything in the world. The word...
It means time.
Huh?
Time.
Yeah, it means time. It means these guys. It means this system, everything.
Spirit of the age.
Spirit of the age, everything. The word... Cosmos is the adornment for the bride. He loved, so John 3:16 says he loved the bride, so he gave his son to the bride. It's a natural thing to do.
Wait a minute.
What?
3:16,
John 3:6.
No, first John. John.
There by Luke.
One of the press manager.
Well, yeah.
You see it in baseball games and stuff. There's that little guy that holds the sign up, John 3:16.
Like
stuff.
Crap.
Yeah, it's all about the world and the games all the time.
Okay, we're not going to study that. You can check that in your own time. You're in my time. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, or the desire thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Well, yeah.
Now those tests. All that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of their eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things are what the tests of Eve were in the garden. And she failed. And they were the tests, the temptations of Christ in the wilderness. And he won.
Yay.
That's enough.
Well, that was just that whole thing about subject of the sentence all of a sudden. It's the next verse of yours. And he, you know... You always put I in there. Always scratch out the key and stick I on there.
That's true. This is really weird to hear that, because the thing that unnerved me today was watching this Charles Manson deal. And it was exactly, his arguments were exactly mine on the hot seat. No shit. I mean, it was like...
You can read my mail.
Well, seriously, there's a guy sitting there and he goes, and Geraldo's like ripping, you know? And he looks and he goes, I'll be the devil if you want me to be the devil. He says, I'll be Christ if you want me to be Christ. I mean, it was like, you know, whatever that, I mean, it was just so, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, you know, because you always say you could be Charles Manson, or you know what I'm saying, but man, it was just so freaky.
Oh,
I know, it was like, yeah. The difference was not at all.
Did
you
ever
say that?
I've said it to a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
I've said you could be Charles Manson,
you could
be a great Hitler, you could be a great communist.
You could be Genghis Khan.
The difference between you and Hitler is opportunity.
No, the only difference between you and Hitler was cowardice.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But the thing that was interesting, and they brought it up, was that Manson and Hitler never killed anyone.
They never physically killed
anyone, but they had everything ordered.
Well, and it was great theater. I mean, there's a lot worse massacres that go on that are not, you know, they're kind of in the culture okay or whatever. Yeah. I mean, like, people don't even think about it.
Second big guy.